Takrade, Ganga FM Drepa and Radio Freed in Nandam. This afternoon, police launched investigations into a multiple vehicle crash at Ofanko barrier that killed 11 people and left 13 others seriously injured, including a 15-year-old who lost both legs in the early morning crash.
Tipper truck ran into the back of the Mercedes Benz. You know, the situation, there was one little girl whose legs were taken.
With details and plus here from the National Road Safety Authority.
All this road furniture, are part of the what we call, if we need a safe environment, we also need a street light to be functioning. Okay, so if the street lights are not functioning, definitely they can also lead to some of the crashes we see, especially with pedestrian knockdowns.
Also this afternoon, Interior Minister orders full investigation into an apparent breach of police custody that allowed civilians access to an arrested person who was subsequently assaulted at the CID headquarters. We'll bring you details of that. An NPP minority majority clash over Speaker of Parliament's recall of the House for urgent legislative business.
And we are being called back to vet ministers. Why can't they wait until October? What is the agency about? It is not the minority that determines agency or otherwise of government business.
With details of the key business the House will consider when MPs return on Monday, August 24, in sports.
The tough pathway to the 2027 Women's World Cup begins today as Ghana's Black Queens clash with Ivory Coast.
And can UST Hall Master back students' protest over exorbitant private hostel fees as accommodation costs soar to 10,000 cedis per academic year?
According to Professor Avogla, private hostels are...
And later, St. Hubert and Edutrum Senior High School sealed their round of 16 sports at the Love FM High School debate.
Custodians sentence worsens offenders. A lot of prisoners come from the prison and become worse criminals.
These and more with me, Mamisi Nyamiche Thompson. This is Joy News, independent, fearless, and credible journalism. Do stay with us. Let's get into the details now. Police in Accra have launched investigations into a multiple vehicle crash at Ofanko barrier that killed 11 people and left 13 others seriously injured, including a 15-year-old who lost both legs in the early morning crash. The accident, which occurred at about 4 a.m., involved seven vehicles, including a tricycle popularly known as a boboya. According to the Ghana National Fire Service, the survivors have suffered varied degrees of injuries, including a 15-year-old who lost both legs. Listen to MP or member of the Public Relations Unit of the Ghana National Fire Service, AD01, Alex Kinati, narrate the incident to my colleague Samuel Kojobrace on the AM show.
Unfortunately, we lost quite a number of lives. Their bodies are badly mutilated. About eight people are reported, and we are doing our best. The fortunate thing for us is that for our Monday, all the people that were trapped in the vehicle, we've been able to bring everybody out of the vehicle. And so we are with ambulance service. There are some people who were unconscious, and we are doing our best to revive them with ambulance service. We've been able to actually revive some of them. And so those that we're able to revive, the ambulance is taking them to the hospital. It's not a pleasant thing to describe, unfortunately. Names lost and some crashed.
How many vehicles are involved in this accident?
There are two pickup trucks involved, two Mercedes-Benz buses. I see a Toyota Camry, I see a tricycle, and then an Uber vehicle. But the chunk of the casualty is from the Mercedes-Benz bus.
Was this sort of a head-on collision, or what exactly is the accident like?
You know, it's a dual carriage, and so it's not a head-on collision, but it looks like the tipper truck ran into the back of the Mercedes-Benz. You know, the situation, there was one little girl whose legs were taken. And so, we need specialized care. And so I'm pretty sure some might have been taken to 37 for specialized care. Now, I would have to confirm with the ambulance team to know exactly where the injured were taken.
You said the young girl's legs were severed, other two?
Yes, unfortunately. Okay. And the car was badly mangled. And so, and when we are embarking on a patient like this, it's not a patient that you can just pull people out. Because every move you make can either sustain or can kill someone.
And that's ADO1 Alex Kinnate, then an interview with my colleague Samuel Kujobrace. But that death toll we know now has risen to 11, according to the fire service. And Stephen Mensah is just returning from the scene with more on this. So, Stephen, what did you witness at the scene?
Well, Mami, when you get to the scene, you notice some of the accident cars have been badly damaged. You notice the commercial vehicle in question has been badly damaged. You'd also notice some oranges on the ground also. You'd also notice when you get to the scene, some blood and oil on the scene. On the stretch, you'd notice that the Ghana National Fire Service, before we left, was trying to clear the stretch. They were using some foam and some water to clear the stretch off. You'd notice, because of the accident, that some bits and pieces of some of the human body parts were still on the stretch.
Wow. That must be. I don't know how you felt at that point in time, but you've also been engaging a number of people at the scene. First, do we know what exactly caused the accident there?
Well, currently, the Ghana National Fire Service indicates that investigations are still ongoing to ascertain what actually caused the accident. But then what we've heard from some of the eyewitnesses will be that the tricycle, that's the Aboboya, carrying oranges, was the main cause of the accident. It had to stop, and then the other vehicle slammed into them, leading to the accident.
Okay.
Once things like that happen, you know, the residents, I always say, we should be each other's keeper. Once you are living in a community, you see that there's a problem here. Try and approach the authorities. Try and approach the assembly. Now, this is where we think. We live in here, think that people park here, people do that. That's it. Because the assembly may not know that people are parking cars here, or people are using the place for bus stop. So once you report, we'll make sure we enforce the laws. But now, this has happened and they are saying they knew this already. I don't believe in that. I always tell people, we have only one Accra. We have only one Ghana. If there's something happening and we have to come in and help, We should make sure we come in. These street lights are all working.
They are all working.
We can confirm this. Yes, I passed through yesterday night. The street lights are working.
I see.
It's not about street light. This is not street light. This is a fault of the drivers that parks through the road. Don't blame anything on the street light. It's not a fault of the street light.
Well, so that was Accra Mayor Michael Gbagbo Aloti there, explaining that it wasn't the cause of, you know, the lack of street lights on the stretch. But, yeah. Stephen, you spoke to residents who disagreed with him. What did they say?
Mami, the residents actually are having none of what the Accra Mayor says. And they actually indicate that apart from the street lights that are on top of the highway, the ones beneath all the highways, moving all the way to Achimota, are not working. And they've been telling us that it's a leading factor for many of the road accidents that are happening on the stretch, and they tell us that a lot of these accidents are happening on the stretch.
Boss, the street lights are not working from Ofanko Barrier heading to the top. No street lights. If they walk for the rooftop, if they drive for the rooftop, evening time, we will not take care as well. You will lose your life. This, the road there, boss. People, they take money. They pay people to fix the street light, but then you do a street light, you know, when raining, this is street light in Juma. Can't say to me, say, see, I see. Now, why is it car chassis? Car chassis. They went to your car chassis
So, Stephen, those are residents that you spoke to earlier on explaining what they thought caused the accident. Well, the National Road Safety Authority planning and management official was also there. What did he say?
Well, the official, that's in the name of Felix Owusu, has been talking about and he's been pushing for some additional road signs and some street lights to be placed on and along the Ofanko stretch. And he's been talking about this mainly because of the road accident that happened today.
All right.
That is a concern to us as a National Road Safety Authority because all this road furniture, I mean, are part of the, what we call, if we need a safe environment, we also need our street lights to be functioning. Okay, so if the street lights are not functioning, definitely they can also lead to some of the crashes we see, especially with pedestrian knockdowns in the Greater Accra region. So it's a concern to us as well. But so we want to use this medium to call on the authorities, i.e. the road agencies, to make sure the various street lights we have, all the other stakeholders who matter in this, to make sure all the street lights are functioning, not only in Greater Accra, but all over Ghana.
Oh.
Yeah, for the National Road Safety Authority, I think what comes into mind, first of all, is the road safety education that we give to the various class of road users. So it's not drivers alone. We target all road users. So being a motor rider, a pedestrian, passenger, a driver, and even any other road user that we can find. So we do a lot of general road safety education where we go to churches, we go to schools, we go to wherever we find people, we do this road safety education.
Well, let's get the very latest from the Ghana Fire Service. And joining me this afternoon is DO1 Emmanuel Boni. He's the Public Relations Officer with the Ghana National Fire Service. Thank you for joining us on the Midday News. As we speak, is that toll still at 11?
Yes, as we speak, the death toll is still at 11. And the other casualties at 13. And I still collaborating with the police. The national, if any update comes at least, also in our public.
And we've had multiple accounts on what exactly caused the accident. Can you tell us what the Ghana National Fire Service has established as the cause of it?
Currently, largely, we are relying on eyewitness account. And the eyewitness account, we are not taking it from only one source. We are taking it from various sources. However, some of the contact with the others, we are yet to compare with them. Now we'll get to our platform to let the public know the actual point of the incident.
We're grateful for your time, and that's DO1 Emmanuel Mboni, he's PRO for the Ghana National Fire Service. We apologize for that poor quality of sound. Now, moving on, the Interior Minister has ordered a full investigation into an apparent breach of police custody that allowed civilians access to an arrested person at the police CID headquarters who was subsequently assaulted. The Minister has directed the IGP to establish how the civilians gained access to the suspect and determine whether any police officer facilitated, permitted or acquiesced in the breach. Any officer found culpable is to face appropriate disciplinary action. And joining me now is a member of our security desk, Maxwell Agbagba. Maxwell, tell us what's in this viral video.
Mami, so the video circulated on social media shows a man assaulting a handcuffed suspect at what person's head, speaking in the footage, identified as a police CID headquarters. Several other individuals are seen at the scene, although none is visibly dressed in police uniform. Now, as the suspect appears to be explaining something, a man standing behind him suddenly strikes him, raising questions about the circumstances under which the assault occurred while the suspect was restrained and apparently in custody.
All right, Agbagba. Now, the person who is assaulted, the suspect in custody, has now been arrested by the police, but does it end there?
No, it doesn't end there, because the Inspector General of Police, the supervising police officers directly responsible for the custody and supervision of the arrested persons, are also to be queried over the security lapse. And this is coming is a directive coming from the Interior Minister. Mm-hmm. The Minister also says that all persons arrested in connection with the original incidents must be treated strictly in accordance with the law, stressing that the police must act without fear or favour. The directive effectively opens two lines of investigation, mm-hmm. one into the civilians who allegedly assaulted the suspect and another into the conduct of police officers responsible for maintaining custody and preventing unauthorized access. And that's the directive from the Minister of Interior.
Thank you very much, Maxwell Akbaba. Now, this afternoon, the minority and majority in Parliament have clashed over Speaker of Parliament Alvin Bagbin's decision to recall the House for what it has described as urgent legislative business. MPs have been recalled to sit for 5 days from Monday, August 24. But the minority describes the recall as unnecessary and costly. We'll hear from both sides shortly. First, Parliamentary Affairs Correspondent Kwaku Asante joins me in studio with details of what the House will be considering. Kwaku, what are the urgent matters the House is expected to consider?
It mainly has to do with the appointment of new ministers. We know that the President last week did some shake-up in his government and appointed a new local government minister and a new environment, science and technology minister. These two persons would have to be vetted. Mm. But before the appointment committee can actually sit and work, the Speaker of Parliament would have to refer the matters to them. But that has to be done on the floor of the House. So on Monday, August 24, when the House resumed, the Speaker would have to read the letter from the President and make that referral to the appointment committee before they will vet them and approve them. We expect all of that to happen within that 5 days period. There's also the matter of who becomes the next majority leader. Mm-hmm. We do know now it will be James Agaga, but it has to be official. And on the floor that day, I'm sure the Speaker of Parliament will read that letter that will come from the NDC as a party, informing him of the person they've chosen to become the next majority leader. And then he too will take his new seat in the House. And then there will be a little issue have to do with the anti-LGBTQ bill. The Speaker insists that that would have to be reconsidered, and he did not succeed in getting that before Parliament went on break, and that will also have to be reconsidered when they return August 24.
What is usually the cost involved in such recalls?
Well, Parliament hardly publishes that, but we know that all 276 members of Parliament, the cost of transporting them from wherever they may be to this particular sitting, mm-hmm. will be borne by Parliament. But okay. also, their exit after 5 days when they are leaving, that would have to be paid for. And understanding is that a certain allowance would also have to be given them because it's a recess period mm-hmm. that they are sitting. So the cost is there, but the Parliament of Ghana usually do not release the data. But at least you would have to pay the transportation in and out of the MPs when they come, and then you have to give them an allowance also.
Thank you very much, Kwaku Asante. But the minority says there's nothing urgent about the business before the House and that the matters could wait until Parliament resumes substantively in October. Habibi Drisu is MP for Tolon and Deputy Minority Whip.
The agency of calling Parliament just to vet these ministers. Mind you, we did not have a substantive defense minister for 1 year. We did not have a substantive minister for environment, science and technology. But government was still going on and other government businesses were still being executed by other caretaker ministers. We were aware that even serious procurement, serious government initiative that happened under this ministry were done by a caretaker minister. If we recall, the budget when it was presented, the minister responsible for finance was the caretaker minister for the ministry for defense.
Meanwhile, Majority Chief Whip Roxy Nelson Dafyamakwa says it is not up to the minority to determine what constitutes urgent government business.
It is not the minority that determines agency or otherwise of government business. So Habib should get that straight. Two, Habib is confusing budget presentation with budget preparation. A caretaker minister is not the same as a substantive minister. With all due respect, the finance minister has been a caretaker minister for the Ministry of Defense. But you cannot insist that because he's been a caretaker minister for a year, when there's a need for a substantive minister so that certain key things can be done, we shouldn't do it because you think that it is not urgent. Of course, you are not in government, so you don't know how urgent and important that is.
Away from Parliament, students of the Kwame Nkrumah University of Science and Technology, KNUST in Kumasi, are raising alarm over the soaring cost of private accommodation, with some hostel operators charging as much as 10,000 Ghana cedis per academic year. The students say the high cost of private accommodation, coupled with limited affordable options, is putting significant financial pressure on them and their parents. Unity Hall Master Professor Richard Kojo Avogla supports the concerns, citing growing frustration over the rising cost of accommodation. Ahim Interior reports.
According to Professor Avogla, private hostels are unjustifiably charging between 6,000 and 7,000 Ghana cedis per student, compared to government regulated rate of 2,167.80 pesos for traditional university halls. He says students accessing public hostel facilities are often reluctant to move out in the traditional halls after the first year.
The kind of figure some of these private hostels are charging. The students are always complaining about that. We know how much some of these hostels are charging, very exorbitant. A lot of students will come to you, they're almost finishing their first year, and they want to stay in the hall. But according to university policy, the halls are for only the first year. And then look at the facilities they're even providing. In some cases, I think this is something they must really look at. But to be fair, also, on the other side, I think we can also investigate the conditions for the loans that some of these hostel owners take. No, 4 students in their room, and they pay 2,167.80 each.
You're still listening to the Midday News here on Joy 99.7 FM. We'll take a break. We're in 10. We have sports. And also, coming up, the wait is almost over. The 2026 National Science and Math Quiz launches today, with a record 174 schools gearing up for battle. Reigning champions in Fanspen School yearning to make history with a third win in a row. And also, from selling his mother's fabrics after her death to building a fashion empire in South Africa, we'll tell you the story of Ghanaian fashion designer Junior Eduse.
There's the real model over there in one of Junior's designs.
So, I mean, and they know I'm not from South Africa, but they still support me. Just that it's a few individuals that are tarnishing the name of the country, and it's very, very...
Back to the Midday News, we have sports, Mubarak.
My Messi, Ghana's Black Queens are chasing their first Women's World Cup qualification in about 2 decades as they face Ivory Coast later today in the first step of a long road to the global showpiece. Lawrence Beidou is in Casablanca and has more.
WAFCON dream definitely over for the Black Queens, but as far as their World Cup qualification hopes are concerned, there's a chance for them to grab an opportunity to continue what would be a long route as compared to the much simpler one they had if they had beaten Malawi in that quarterfinal game. The Black Queens will now face Cote d'Ivoire in a continental playoff game to secure one of 2 spots available for Africa to go on to play in an intercontinental playoff later this year, and then continue their search for a return to the world stage since 2007. That game against Cote d'Ivoire is on Thursday at the La Bizarre Stadium at 6 p.m. Local time, and then 5 p.m. Ghana time.
Yeah, that's Lawrence Beidou with that report.
Thank you, Mubarak. Now, the third day of the Love FM Kel Chaco Toothpaste High School debate delivered 2 keenly contested battles with St. Hubert Seminary and Osei Educhum Senior High School securing victories to advance to the round of 16. Clinton Yeboa reports.
Custodians sentence worsens offenders. A lot of prisoners come from the prison and become worse criminals. So by way of a majority, the session, St. Hubert Seminary and Senior High School are the winners. Contest 5.
Things were looking a little bit tough, but as I mounted the podium, I saw the glory was going to shine, and indeed it has shined at the end of the day.
This motion is essentially claiming that democracy has lost its purpose and is no longer needed in today's world. But that argument fails to recognize that democracy is not a finished product, no.
Expectations are high as the 2026 National Science and Math Quiz officially launches today with 174 schools, the highest number in the history of the competition, set to take part in this year's competition. The contest is expected to bring another fierce battle for the coveted national trophy, with organizers also introducing a new clean sheet prize for contestants. Listen to Samuel Nate Ajo, director of Primetime Limited.
We've also added another prize to the competition for the contestants. It's called the clean sheet. There's round 4. If you're able to win, get all your questions correctly, that gives 16 points. That gives you a clean sheet, and therefore you can win a prize for yourself and then for your school as well.
Okay. And you have the client service director of Primetime Limited, Samuel Nate Ajo. Moving on, what started as a means of survival, selling his mother's fabrics after her death, has blossomed into a thriving African fashion brand in South Africa. That's the story of Junior Duse, who owns Tribe Afrik, a Ghanaian-owned fashion brand based in South Africa. Max Olagbagba reports.
Show her, you saw me, I'm the other model, but there's the real model over there in one of Junior's designs. And again, sticking with the contemporary theme, I think while we look at this outfit, perhaps tell us more about the inspiration behind this look.
So what she's wearing is called a basket kimono.
Junior Duse sits down for an interview at the South African Broadcasting Corporation, SABC, with a Tribe Afrik designs on display in the studio. Sometimes the beginning of a dream does not look anything like success. For Junior Duse, it began with a loss. After the death of his mother, he sold her fabrics as a means of survival. Today, those fabrics have given way to something much bigger, Tribe Afrik. Tribe Afrik was founded in 2018, and its work has evolved from styling and fashion consultancy into clothing and design. Tribe Afrik has expanded its footprint to more than 12 countries and has a presence on many e-commerce platforms.
The material that I got was from Ghana, was from my mom's.
Yeah.
So my own customers come and they want the same fabric. I don't have any more.
Yeah.
Because my mom probably bought them 5 years or 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So now I was facing a bit of a challenge. So